What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Overserved, hosted by me, Pooch, and my co-host, Rachel. We're in the middle of the U.S. Swing right now. A lot going on and off the court. We just finished up the Atlanta Open. Big-time win by Taylor Fritz, securing another title. I think one that was well-needed, but he got back in the winner's circle, which is big for him, gearing up for the U.S. Open. And our boy J.J. Wolf had a solid week, ended up going deeper. Went to the semifinal, ended up losing. But the mullet is back. We're going to see if it can bring some special powers.
I got to say, I am not a fan of the mullet. But if anyone can pull it off, it's going to be J.J. Wolf. I just was at the Taste of Tennis player party at the City Open in D.C. just a few nights ago. Saw him there on the blue carpet. He had his mullet. And I was like, I guess it's back now. And I think it's fun for the game. It showcases his personality. But also, I think might bring a different kind of like a fan base to him. Maybe that like manly guy fan base or something, just like excited about the mullet. But it's good for him. Whatever makes him happy. And it might be good luck for him. He's playing really well.
Yeah, definitely. The whole sunscreen, the mullet, his whole look, I just think it fits him so well. For those who don't know, JJ went to Ohio State, played college for a few years, came out, turned pro, and he had a really good start, kind of had some really big wins last year, ended up going to the finals in Venice in Italy, ended up losing the FAA, but had some really big runs, especially this time last year. It's kind of his coming out party. Has slowed down a little since then, but still playing some really good tennis. I think he's just gearing up and needs that, like another really big career win. I think him getting to that final in Atlanta would have been really big and, you know, a great opening for him getting to, you know, to the U.S. Open and gearing up. But didn't happen. He has another shot. He's playing in Washington right now, won his day one match, which is awesome for him. But, yeah, I'm rooting for JJ. I saw he was hanging out with I think Cam Newton was out. He was at the D.C. Open, so he's there. KD's there. But yeah, wishing the best for JJ. And it's kind of it's something or debate I wanted to, you know, kind of, because a lot of these players, they don't get to show their personality. JJ shows it. I think college helped him with that. But JJ is one of those guys I would love to hang out with. He's 24. I'm 25. In the sense, both that college background, me coaching college football, him going to Ohio State. He was actually at Ohio State when I was coaching a college football game there in 2019. So, you know, maybe I was out, maybe we went to the same bar the night before. I'll never know, but would love to kick it with JJ.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like he would be just a blast. I feel like you guys would definitely be bros, in that sense. For me, if I could, hang out with one player, I know that was one of our little questions to discuss. Yeah. I think for me, there's two that come to mind. I think Casper Ruud is really interesting. I like that he's from Finland. I've always wanted to go there. And I love that he golfs. He seems just like really exciting and like a fun, nice guy to hang out with. I also would love to hang out with Rublev. We've talked about it before. I think that he's just hilarious. Like in the interviews I do with them, he just will randomly like crack the most like hysterical joke. And I love that about him. So I think that he would just be a fun time and pretty funny as well.
Yeah, Kat, I mean, over the last few months I learned, but Casper is a huge golfer. So when you said that, yeah. It makes a lot of sense. I almost, not that he enjoys it more than tennis, but I think it was right before, maybe it was the French Open, or who was it? I think it was French Open that they were talking about. Well, it was before Wimbledon. That's what it was, before Wimbledon, that he was playing golf instead of some of those, like, beginning of the grass season tournaments, and people were giving him slack for that. And he was kind of like, hey, this is like my
little season.
But so that makes so much sense. I'm sure he's a pretty good golfer.
Yeah.
I've heard.
I literally hated how he had to explain himself about that, how he went to the concert and how he was golfing. I'm like, you do not need to explain yourself living your life outside from these tournaments. Like you're on the road, like every week of the year and you want to just go play golf and people are giving you a hard time. Like that is ridiculous to me. You just need to have fun. Do what you want to do. I'm happy that he enjoys golf. He's got his own little golf Instagram page, which I love. So we know he's very passionate about it. But yeah, I don't think he needs to explain himself.
Yeah, no, did he even help himself with the Wimbledon, you know, situation and not doing great in that tournament? So it wasn't the best. Yeah. Like you said, that probably had nothing to do with it. He just didn't have it. And sometimes that happens. But somebody that came up and I was thinking about, I'm obviously currently in a very happy relationship. But if I was single and kind of, you know, my hot boy summer, I need to hang out with Berrettini. Girls love it. Women love him. They love him. When we were into the Arizona Classic, and he happened to go down there before the Miami Open, He was it just it was crazy seeing the women flock around him. It was unreal. Like everyone, like it just everybody, moms, people in their 20s, 30s, and then you have women from like 20, 30 to like 60. Not that I'm looking for a 60-year-old, but if I was, I knew who to hang out with because they just love him. I get it. The Italian man has some nice locks up top. So if I was single, I need Berrettini definitely to be my wingman. I'll take the ugly one. Berrettini, I'll take the ugly girl. I just need it because if she's hanging with you, she can't be too ugly. So Berrettini.
Outrageous, I'm dying. But no, it is funny because like I have a lot of girlfriends that don't necessarily follow tennis, but they'll be like, oh my gosh, that Italian guy is so hot. Like that's what they'll say. I'm like, oh, Berrettini's who they're talking about. So yeah, he's very well known, not just for his tennis, but for his looks as well.
All I'm saying, Berrettini Pucciarelli. It could be like a good combo. Not me dating Berrettini, but him being my wingman. That's what I do.
I know. Are you in love with him? I'm
Oh,
crying.
me? No, I'm kidding. Kidding. Moving on. Moving on. So obviously, just speaking about J.J. Wolf, and a lot of news about Ben Shelton, Eubanks. Obviously, recently the nice run he's been on, specifically in July. College tennis or players that have been a big part of the college tennis coming out pro have now had a lot of success, which in the past hasn't always been the case. So it's something now. Is it more mainstream? Is it something where a lot of players, I think, looked against it because a lot of college players who turned pro didn't have a ton of success, but now a ton are. So I'm wondering if someone who like Mickelson gives him more of a reason to go that go to
Yeah.
Georgia for a year or two now.
No, absolutely. I think this has been a conversation for a few years now. Is college tennis a good route to the pros? And John Isner was kind of the first one to really spearhead it and have success on tour. And since then, we've seen a variety of different players, take that college route. There are so many benefits to doing that. Like, all of these players in the top 100, like we were discussing, that are in there now, they all probably got full rides, right? So they're education was taken care of, their equipment was taken care of, practices, coaches, the high level matches that they played, they didn't have to pay for any of that. It was just kind of like a year or however many years they did it, they were able to get that college experience, also develop a social life as well, like figure out how to be social in society, not just practicing like they're on tour already. They're actually like, I guess, in a mix with the college lifestyle. And so it's interesting because like I feel like it is a good route for that reason. And then if tennis does not work out for them in the future, their professional career has to end at some point, they do have something to fall back on, which is their education. I think more and more players and the parents of the players are seeing that this route is successful. And we've seen like recently so many college players just like stand out at these tournaments, especially these past couple weeks. And so I think it just keeps proving year after year that that is a really, really good route for these players.
Yeah, and a lot of these kids too, they get wild cards into some of these big events, kind of like Mickelson just had recently. I know another kid out of Georgia, this kid Quinn. So it's something where they can still compete in at different points of the year, playing some bigger, tournaments outside that college level. And it's something where, it like you said, it's not a bad option. It's a little bit of a safer route, which is there's nothing wrong
Yeah.
with that in the sense I'm not saying safe. And it's like, what do you go do with that, like 18 to go do it 20, 21. It's only like a 2, 3 year gap. It's not the end of the world. And like you said, a lot of times
Exactly.
the people that don't know this lifestyle is super expensive. Like early on, a lot of guys, like you'll see they'll win one tournament. They might be for, however many thousand, but everything that goes into it, like let's say they go for 3, 4 months and they make one or two deep runs early on, all the hotels, plane tickets and certain tournaments cover things and some don't. So the expenses really add up. And sometimes you see players, they don't end up making a ton at all, at least early on. And we'll get into that in a second, speaking about the US Open
Yeah.
and some changes that they've made. But it's a little bit of a safer route, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go into the US Open then. They've got a lot of, they're doing amazing things for the players this year.
Yeah, so the US Open, for those obviously that know, it's gearing up. It'll start up in the next few weeks, coming here after Cincinnati. One of the most exciting points of the year, probably in my eyes, one of the most exciting Grand Slams, just because of the crowd, the atmosphere, being from New York. It looks like an unreal, it's an unreal tennis venue. Obviously, the biggest of the biggest names are there, so it's really exciting. Stars are there, a ton of famous people. So going to be, just a great tournament. And something they do that's awesome is they have the highest pay rate for winners, and the entries of the out of all the Grand Slams, which we will talk about. We still think it'll improve, but they have a lot of benefits for players, and they just make it a more ideal tournament. And the more success you have, the better for the players.
Yeah, and a few things that they're doing this year, which is going a long way with the players. They're all super excited about it. Is they are giving a $1,000 travel stipend, $600 a night per diem, and 5 free racket stringings per round. And when I saw this announced on social media, I immediately texted my friend on tour. I said, "Is this true? Is this really happening?" And he was like, "Yeah, like it's great. We're all really, really excited about it." Which I think is awesome. I think that the little things that these tournaments do, that the tournaments do, really go a long way for the players, and they really appreciate it. Like you were just saying, like traveling is expensive. I saw someone comment like $1,000 isn't a lot for travel, but it's still something. It's better than zero. It covers, a ticket, and it goes a long way with the players. They're super happy. It just makes the players like excited to play that tournament. So I think the US Open is just doing an amazing job this year, and super excited to see how everything goes this year.
Yeah, even with like the 600 a night, people might be like, "Oh,
Yeah.
that's a lot." In New York, that's not a lot. That's, that might be a slice of pizza and a couple of beers. Only getting obviously more than that. But New York is crazy, super expensive. So if these guys, the further they get, they should be rewarded. Obviously, now they are being, and hopefully other tournaments will start to follow. I think as tennis grows, and especially here in the United States, obviously it does better, and it's huge for everybody. We just saw it like in Washington right now. KD was just out to support Tiafoe. Both guys, for those who don't know Kevin Durant, it's hard. How do you not know Kevin Durant? But if you don't, NBA superstar, played with the Nets, now obviously in Phoenix with the Suns. But born and raised in the DMV in the Maryland area, just like Tiafoe. So we saw KD out. I mean, dude, if KD is not cool enough to watch tennis, neither are you. It's an awesome sport. Those that aren't gearing up and into, especially right now, I talk about it. There's nothing else going on besides baseball. I'm a big baseball fan. There's 162 games. This gets boring. I'm a huge Yankee fan. Maybe I'm saying that because the Yankees suck right now. But even with the pitch clock, everything, I love me a good baseball game, but I like diversity. I can't watch it every day. So tennis right now, in the middle of the summer until college football starts up, kind of my go-to. But yeah, KD out supporting Tiafoe, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you're talking about that, the US Open brings out the stars. And so it's really cool to see that the City Open had the support of Kevin Durant. I know that he was watching Francis last night play his match. And Francis, I saw Kevin come on the court and just say how proud he was of him and how proud the city of DC was of him. So it was really cool to see like his enthusiasm around the game. I know, Mark Fine, the tournament owner, City Open tournament owner, he has done a remarkable job bringing the first ATP and WTA 500 together at the City Open. But along with that, he also just bought the Commanders with a childhood friend. And so he's bringing some of the Commanders to the City Open as well. He's just really involving like a lot of professional athletes, and then, a lot of different celebrities there as well. And at the US Open last year, we saw Bradley Beal and KCP and Foes Bucks. So it's just fun to see the different basketball players excited about the sport.
Yeah, and I mean, they're big fan. Jimmy Butler, we talked about, huge fantasy
Yeah.
fan. Alcaraz, good friends with Zverev, I believe. Now you see KD with Tiafoe. So it's, these world-renowned athletes. It's not just me and Rachel watching tennis, guys. It's
Yeah.
some of the biggest athletes in the world. I think it's really just because, and I think they understand a little bit better because they understand how skilled these athletes are, being a professional athlete. But yeah, so it's really exciting. I'm looking forward to see who's going to be out at the US Open. It's going to be some big names. There were some really big names at the French Open, and at Wimbledon. So, at the US Open, I mean, usually the biggest of the biggest are out. So I can only imagine who's going to be out to watch some tennis.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And one other thing to add, I know a lot of other basketball players love tennis as well. I remember a few years ago there was going to be a basketball tennis event that I was helping coordinate, got put on the back burner, but there was quite a few basketball players that were really enthusiastic about it, with D'Angelo Russell, Eric Gordon, Jayson Tatum. And yeah, I mean, it's really fun to see, like I said, all these players just excited about the game.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And then somebody, we don't know if he's going to be, you know, at the US Open watching, tweeting about it. We don't know when he's gonna be in Australia hanging out. Nick Kyrgios, obviously more news, not on-court news like it's been the last few months, unfortunately. A little bit off-court, nothing crazy. Last week he had the crazy Pokemon tattoo that Rachel was hoping her next boyfriend has. Then we're talking about So for those who don't know, some more Twitter news from Kyrgios. I can't remember who the source was. Somebody tweeted about Pablo Carreño Busta. Obviously been out the last few months, a guy who was in that top, you know, that top 10 range, top 15, 20 for most of the year last year, last few months, and obviously hasn't played in a few months. Somebody tweeted, was like, oh, poor Pablo, like, you know, wish he was back, which so he just had to withdraw from, I think it was the event in Canada, in Montreal, just had to withdraw, so he won't be in it. And it was more of just like, oh, everybody, we feel so bad for him. And Kyrgios was just like, what about me? Like, when I withdraw from tournaments, people like, screw that guy. So he kind of came back and was like, I wish I was more understood in the sense. But just funny. Just it gets to a point, it's just like, he's not going to win. He's never going to win. So it's like, just, I don't know why he goes back at people, you know?
I mean, I've said this before, like, I love Nick. I think he's got such a kind heart, one of the kindest hearts on tour. You know, I feel like as much as he talks about him being hated, he's very, very, very loved. Like, if I was to say loved and hated, I would probably say he's loved 70%, hated 30%. You don't sell out stadiums if you're just hated by people. Yeah. And so I feel like he's very loved. And like, yeah, it probably gets frustrating. Like, I don't see the DMs he gets. I'm sure he gets some pretty awful DMs and some pretty just mean messages a lot. But I think that he's very loved. And sometimes I wish he would just ignore some of the stuff and just, but then we wouldn't have Nick Kyrgios. We wouldn't have his personality. So I'm not sure what I'm with, but I just wanted to, I guess, keep being himself and just know that he's very loved on tour.
Yeah. He needs to stop searching his name on Twitter. He just needs to stop. I would do, so after the show I was on, that was on CBS last year, I would do the same once I got off. And a ton of people love you, but then you just have like, basically, it sounds mean, but nobodies are just, you know, tweeting at you, saying. So I used to, like, I explained on other, you know, other interviews, podcasts. I used to, once I got off the show, I'd go out with my friends, have a couple of drinks, come home. And at like 3 or 4 in the morning, I would sit there on my phone and tweet back at people, like random people. You're never going to win, especially at 3, 4 in the morning when, you know, you had a few drinks and you're spelling it the wrong way. So yeah, just Kira, he's never going to win, at least not on Twitter. The thing that he could do to win and, you know, is get back on court. Like he was speaking about on Twitter, he was like, hey, I think I could compete with Alcaraz right now. And people are like, dude, you're crazy. And maybe he is, but like, instead of, the way he could defend that is get healthy, do what he needs to do and get out there and, you know, and go obviously against Alcaraz and beat him. And that's the way he'll do it. But him saying it right now on Twitter, I don't think it helps him. Just like him asking for more compassion or more. He's not even asking for compassion. He's just like, see, I get a bad rap and other players don't who get injured and withdraw. He just needs to get back. We need him on the court doing what he does, you know, getting people excited. And it'll help him prove his point. I hope he'll get that grand slam. You know, it's getting to a point. I don't know. I don't know. I hope, because, and not that I don't think he can. I just think he's getting closer and closer to a point where he's not going to keep playing for super long. So I hope he gets it. You know, I hope to see him in the US Open. But it's just been, yeah, some more Kyrgios news and not on news, like I said.
I agree with you. I really, really would love to see him get healthy and get back out there, make a run like he did at Wimbledon last year.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, guys, right now, like I said, we're in the middle of the U.S. The U.S. swing right now. A ton of great tournaments going on leading up to the U.S. Open. A lot of excitement, a lot of really big names that a lot of Americans wouldn't normally, you know, be able to see play in the United States for not an expensive price. So, you know, it's great for tennis. I think it'll help the game, especially Alcaraz and Novak are both going to be in Cincy, the number 1 and 2 in the world. That's a Grand Slam final. If they get there, obviously, because there's a ton of other big names. But just really excited for the U.S. Open, and excited for the next Overserved episode next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one final thing, I saw Goran Ivanišević tweet about it. He said, if anyone is going to beat or, you know, put up a fight against Alcaraz, it's going to be Yannick Sinner or Novak. And, you know, it is interesting because we saw that amazing match just a few weeks ago at Wimbledon, Alcaraz, Djokovic. And then we also are starting to really see this, you know, rivalry develop with Sinner and Alcaraz. And they have some really, really exciting matches. We saw that at the US Open last year. And so I think it'll be really good to have them, like you said, at these, you know, US Open series tournaments like Cincy. So yeah, it'll be really fun. We've got a lot of exciting things to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. Sinner, like you said, in the sense, real quick, Sinner, that rivalry is there, but I need him to, right now, I think it's a rivalry, but Alcaraz is here and Sinner's here. And I don't think that players, he's just been getting the better of him, at least of recently. And I'm waiting for Sinner, man, because something came out today, a stat. I think he has like the best return rate on every surface right now out of everybody on the ATP tour. And he's just, the success hasn't been there for where him getting that slam. So hopefully the US Open, you know, definitely will be competitive. Cincinnati beforehand, it'll be really exciting.
Yeah, I believe that with Sinner. And I always think about this. You know, I've given so many interviews to almost all the players now. And the one to me that was just so impressive was Sinner. He was only, I think, 19 at the time, is at Miami. And I gave him about, I think, 4 interviews. But his IQ and knowledge of the game and how smart he was just talking about the strategy and like his game and, you know, his matches that he played. It was so impressive to me to hear him talk about that at such a young age. So I'm always just like thinking about how just intelligent and smart he is on the court. So yeah, it'll be good to see that like keep developing and that rivalry keep developing
if
as not, well.
If Sinner can't make a deep run in one of these upcoming Grand Slams, there's only one thing we could do. Yeah. Myself, Sinner, Berrettini, we need to go out for a weekend. I will get both of them right. We'll have a hell of a time, I promise. We'll go out, we'll watch some Italian football, we'll have a great time, I promise. They will be winning Grand Slams, both of them, left and right, once I'm done with them. So if he doesn't make a deep run in the US Open, I'm going to, obviously not on my dime, but I'll talk to Berrettini. Sinner, we'll book a trip back to the homeland, go over to Italy, Sicily, have a good time. I'll have them boys ready to go in no time.
Wait, I want to come. You better invite me.
I mean, it might get a little too crazy. It might get wild. So you might, certain things you might have to sit out. But we'll have a good time. Make sure we get them boys winning some tournaments soon.
Fair enough.
Awesome. And on that note, we're going to end it. So, guys, also appreciate you coming back and listening. Another episode of Overserved. We'll be back next week after Washington ends and we gear up for Cincy in the US Open. So, see you guys then.
Thanks for listening. See you guys soon.